Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. God loves us all, and He loves His people. He always did. Everything that God does is motivated by His wonderful love, His wonderful agape, life-giving love. Now, yesterday's broadcast was called Covenant Appropriate. In life, you know, as a man of God, I want it to always be appropriate in everything that I do, my thoughts, opinions, my behavior, you know. And overall, I love to have fun. That's one thing that's about me. I love, but I don't want to cross the line. Now, I used to study the Word. I was kind of, if it was fun, I'd try. But I didn't want to hurt anybody. Now, as a man, as a Christian, I wanted to do what Jesus wanted me to do. But when I first started studying the Word of God, I wanted to know what I was getting into. I wanted to know that it was right. And I didn't read the Word as a skeptic. I read it to get an understanding, to see what God was like and what He expected. Because I had opinions about God like everybody else do, but I said, for once, I want to get to know Him for myself, not just what people tell me about Him. And we were in the band. I went to church. The band went to Earl's church this particular Sunday. I forgot whether I think it was just before I was saved or right around the time I got saved. And that was a Bible on the back of the chair, you know. And Earl and Bruce Sanders went to this church. And the church is still there, you know. But I just took a Bible out and I started reading. It was kind of interesting to me. It was written in that old English, you know, King James Version. Now, I had never read the Bible on my own. My mother showed me a few scriptures, and that was about it. I didn't read it on my own. I did other stuff. I didn't like reading. But so I was terribly ignorant, even though my parents were pastors, and they loved God. They had a relationship. I didn't have a relationship with it, but I loved what they did. But I was on the, I didn't know I was on the outside looking in as much as I was. But I really was. I was not a Christian because I didn't ask Jesus to save me. Now, I said those, I lay me down to sleep prayers at night when I was a child. But real sincerity, I kind of did things my way. And the Lord, I thank God for all the trouble the Lord kept me out of. I can tell you stories after stories of how I would try to do crazy stuff and it wouldn't work. Nevertheless, you know, sometimes I talk about my testimonies and things that happened and the mindset that I had at the time versus the mindset I gained as a Christian. It was two different people. But when I started studying in Genesis, when Earl said, I'm going to buy a Bible and I'm going home and read, that was payday. That was the day I said, Lord, I want you to save me. And He saved me too. So I went and bought me a Bible. Actually, my mother had a Good News Bible. Before I bought my Bible, I read the Good News Bible, and I started at Genesis. Now, this is why I'm bringing all this up. When I started in Genesis, I saw something. Now, years ago, Mike Murdoch said, if you want to find your destiny, you got to consider what aggravates you, what kind of problems do you want to solve, what gets your attention. It was a long list. I just can't do it justice right now. But I used to watch Mike Murdoch. I used to have DirecTV, and I could watch him in those days. I can't watch him like I used to. But anyway, God gave that man a lot of wisdom. But this is what got me. Every time I read a Bible story, man failed God. God would tell him what to do that would take his life over the top good. But man found a way to fail God and do something else instead of what he said. So I kept reading. I said, well, maybe it'll get better. when God led Abraham out of Canaan land, now that, I mean, when he led him out of Babylon, that was impressive. He was one that cut covenant with God. And the Lord even told him in Genesis 12 that he would make him a father of nations. But he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then in chapter 15, he made him father of nations. He renamed him. Now, I'm saying that because that was one person that did right. And then he took Lot with him. That was good for Lot, not so good for Abram, but he took Lot with him. And then when Lot went his way, and he went down to Sodom, and he lived in the plains of Sodom, which was a beautiful country before the fire got it, before God had to burn it up. It was a beautiful place to go. But then that's when God gave him, he was in that bubble of obedience. The Lord said, leave your father's house, your kindred, and your nation, and go to a land I will show you. Well, he let Lot go with him, so he partially obeyed. But once Lot was gone, then God showed him, asked him to count the stars, and he couldn't do it. And he said his seed would be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. And it came to pass, see. So he had millions and billions of children. Now, if you look at it from his day to this one, he has billions of children. From every generation, millions of children. See, I don't know the number of people that went from Egypt to the Promised Land, but it was in the millions. So, he was a wonderful man of God, and God cut a covenant with him. Now, when we are in that bubble of obedience, things can happen that don't normally happen. And I know this. The Lord taught me about following God. And I kept reading how people would fail God. Even David. David did real good till he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And he messed up. And then he got right with God, but God had to judge him. Everybody kept failing. I said, what's going on? So I looked around at, in modern times, and I saw how people lived. And I grew up in church, and some people were very devoted to God, but there were some that just didn't really care about the things of God. So, you deal with it. Then you got friends, some love God, some don't. They keep God a secret, or they do what they want to do, and they just kind of live like they want. A lot of people did that. And I wanted to know him. For once. And I was very concerned about how I would behave myself. I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and I didn't want to cause people to stumble in life, because following God is serious. But I didn't, and I wanted to get, I had to get my mind right. I wanted to do right. I wanted to know that I would follow God and be secure in Him and not backslide. Because I seen a lot of people seem to live a wayward life. I didn't want to be wayward. And actually, in high school, my number one goal was to be a good man. And I chose my career based on the family I wanted to have. I wanted to, see, I tried to architect my life. I said, how do I want to live? All right, I know I love to ride motorcycles. I love to swim, play baseball, and I love to fix cars. So I wanted all those things to be in my life. And I wanted to have children. Now my parents, my mother was at home with us during the summer. And I wanted to be around my family. I didn't want to be working all the time. And I wanted to be around my children, just like I was around my parents. And I wanted to go on vacations with them and enjoy them. And I wanted to be married and have children and have a good family. And I love to build things, so I chose I thought about being a carpenter, and that was a heavy, that's what I was gonna do. And but I my cousin built refinished our garage in 76. We're actually 75, yeah, 75, 76, one, right in that era of time. RH built redid the garage and turned it into a livable space in the house. Made a big family room out of a two-car garage. A man's house had burned down because in those days cars used to vent gas, and the gas heater was in his basement, and it burned the house down and killed him. And my mother didn't want that; she didn't want cars in the house anymore. So she had him had my parents had him to refinish the basement. So, but I saw him work. I brought that up because I saw him working. That's what I like doing. I like stuff like that. I love building. But carpenters have to work away from home. They may have to work out of town. They have to travel. And I said, well, I would love to do something where I'm at home every day. And so I became good at fixing cars and mini bikes. I grew up with those. And so I took auto mechanics, thank God. That's something I can do. I don't have to go. I can have a shop nearby. And I can go to work, come home, and have a good job doing what I love, and come home and be with my family that I love. That's a heavy reason I chose mechanic work. And mechanic work is brutal. Working with metal can be a lot worse than working with wood sometimes. But nevertheless, I wanted family. Now, I wanted to be around my family. So, and I love God. I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to do things right. And I didn't want to have a live-in girlfriend and go through trauma, and I didn't want to do all that. I wanted to do it right. But as I learned the things of God, I saw how God was always compassionately loving his people with that wonderful agape love. Then Jesus died for us, rose again. And every time I read those stories, I wanted to love God back. And as God reached out to man, man turned his shoulder and walk away or fail or live a half-hearted life. I said, what's going on? So as I drew near to the Lord, I wanted to know, how did things get like this? Why are people the way they are? And I always wanted to know things about people. And the Lord helped me to see things that I didn't see. But there's an enemy out there, giving people crooked ideas, giving people crooked desires, putting snares in our path, hindering us all the time, giving us the wrong motives, tempting us to do wrong. And then the angels protect us. And I didn't know how the things of God work, so I had to learn. First of all, I wanted to be in the kingdom of God. Then I had to grow in the things of God. Then I had to learn what God expected of us and what he gave us to work with. Now, when I first got saved, I thought you just get saved and do the best you can, and Jesus will come get you one day. Or you'll die and go to heaven one day. So, but as I increased in the knowledge of God, the Lord didn't leave us in a fix. He left us with authority, covenant authority. He gave us the ability to become the sons of God, just like he is. As he is, so are we in this world. And see, a lot of times Christians are trying to live a good life, protect what they have, what they've attained, and live and have a good job and buy a house and take care of their family. But actually, all of us, the fathers, the mothers, the husbands, the wives, the children, the cousins, the first cousins, the second cousins, the friends, the children of everybody. Everybody in the kingdom of God is supposed to have the same abilities Jesus has. And everybody from the children on up need to be seeking the Father. That's how it's supposed to be. That's why the Lord poured out his spirit on the sons and daughters and servants and slaves and everybody the friends, the cousins, the second cousins, the first cousins, and everybody. All of your children, all of your cousins, all of your family members are supposed to be walking in the ways of God and hearing from the Lord and obeying Him. Now, I walk around knowing that if you do these things, you're going to love it. You're going to love knowing the things of God. You got doctrines of devils that slow people down and hinder people for decades. I mean decades. I've heard good men of God say things like healing went out with the apostle. Now, that don't happen as much as it used to. I give it that. But that was a time. That's what they thought. And the miracles went out with the apostles. And then you got people that God is using, and they don't say that God told them what to say. They act on what God, which is good. But I believe in being honest with people. If God says something, I believe in sharing. I'm not ashamed. And I want people to know that God loves them, and their voice counts, and God can move on them just like He did Moses, just like He did Jesus, just like He did Paul, Peter, John, all of them. If we see, our focus shouldn't be to just go to church for the rest of our lives and not grow up. We're supposed to be adamantly, and we're supposed to be learning of Him. We're supposed to be enthusiastically learning of Jesus, so that with the intent to do what He did, so that it'll be true that as He is, so are we in this world. Even our children should be known for laying hands on the sick. And this should be so easy. It's really so easy to do. All you have to do is humble your heart and obey God. God will teach you what you don't know. See, through a relationship, you can learn what's not there. When you don't have any example, and I've done this, and I've seen others do it, Satan can't fool everybody. When you have no examples from others, you have the example of the Word, and the Holy Spirit can teach you, train you, and show you how to do what you got to do. And you'll get a pushback, of course, because people won't understand it, but the right people will, the wrong people won't. That's how it is. Conceited people won't embrace you as much as, but see, consistency. Nobody can stop the light. And the Lord tell me so many times that nobody can stop this move of God. And the reason He say that is because cold religion has stopped so many moves of God, but not this time. Not this one. And God is doing many acts among His people who love Him, and the cold religion can't stop it with their doubtful dispositions. See, that's why the Lord didn't. Now, yesterday's broadcast was called Covenant Appropriate, and so I love everybody to the pure. Everybody's pure, but it's not true. Everybody's not pure, because Paul also said to those that are. To those that are unbelieving, and nothing's pure. Because if everybody was pure, then we have a much better world to live in. But to people that love the world, nothing's pure. See, Paul had to show this to Titus. I hope I said Titus earlier. I meant Titus. I didn't mean to say Timothy. But when you think like God, you think everybody wants to know God. You know. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. See, a defiled man, that's two reasons why people are not pure. And believe that nothing is pure. One is they're defiled, and the other one, they're unbelieving. So wicked people that's defiled, they love the world, nothing's pure. And then unbelieving people, you know, they look at life another way. So people that look, some people look at the glass half full, some people look at the glass half empty. same glass. Some people see the negative and focus on it more than the positive. So, but to the pure, all things are pure. So people that are pure-minded think everybody's like them. Also, this verse also means that those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure, not even the people that are pure. But guess what? When you live the light of God's word as a way of life, eventually you stop their mouth. And it happens so many times in the word of God. There's nothing they can do about the fact that you live for Jesus. And some people will despise you and want you dead. Some people will avoid you and not call you, you know, they don't want you around. Just like Diotrephes didn't want John around. They don't, a lesser light don't want a greater light, because now they're exposed. People don't like being exposed if they love the world somewhat. So cold religion has stopped the progress of many moves of God. And people didn't know that Jesus has to do surgery sometime before he can sanction ministries for greater things. Sometimes people preach, men and women of God preach hard. They preach what God give them, and then it thins the crowd. And then they quell the gospel so that they'll come back. They want to get those members back. And not just for their tithes. I mean, sometimes that's a problem, but it's not that. They care about the people's soul. But it's very important. If a person wants to leave, let them leave. If it's a problem, all right, you preach the things of God, you speak his word, and they got a problem with it, then they made a choice. Now, that's not a weak brother. I'm not talking about weak people that need encouragement. I'm talking about defiant people that don't want to hear the truth. If they want to leave, let them go. And it's another heartstring pull, because they take their young children with them that were doing well and learning. So you don't have to, what I'm saying is this, you don't have to come, don't let a person that goes rogue stop the move of God. Don't quell the gospel for nobody. If they leave, you can pray for those children. Your prayers can go with the children or the spouse that want to do right, and the hard-headed spouse don't want. Eventually, you know, they're going to cause a division anyway. Now, everybody that don't love God and don't follow him, something's going to always, they do things. They make decisions. And darkness and light don't work. Jesus is the one who put enmity between them. He even said, don't think I came to bring peace but a sword. When it comes to those that are defiant and wicked and defiled and unbelieving, he can't use them. And he's not going to let wicked people hinder him. That's why I obey God in all things. I don't say anything if God tells me not to. And I only speak what God releases when I minister to people. A lot of times I will share things. God gave me, yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned how God gave me so many ideas. I walk around with golden opportunity ideas, but I don't tell people unless God sanctioned me to tell them. It's a fail-safe, because that information goes to people who really want to know it. I made that clear, hopefully, as good as I should have yesterday. Covenant appropriate. See, I want to be covenant appropriate in all things. So if I'm ministering somewhere, you know, you respect the rules of the house. You don't go to somebody's house and do it your way. But I'm not going to go and quell the gospel either. And I'm not going to compromise. If I got a compromise, I'm not preaching somewhere if I got a compromise. So when the Lord finally gave me my own assignment to do the radio broadcast, I said something years ago. I said, if God ever give me my own ministry and raise me up to be up there, I'm not going to treat people the way I was treated. And I've lived up to that. I invite others to minister You know, they can, they, and I don't tell them what to preach. I say, just let God use you. What if they say something wrong? What if they don't? If God put it on my heart, if they want to minister, they can minister. And I like it. They might say something that I wouldn't say, but hey, when I invite people, I invite them. I mean, if God don't put a check in my spirit, you know, I ask the Lord. I run everything by the Lord. But I don't do it. I don't hold people back. You know, some people, they say, he preached better than me. I don't want him to preach around me. That kind of, I've been there and seen the effects of that. And I would not do people like that. That's just wrong. And some people don't want to look bad. They want to be preeminent. Let them be preeminent in their own mind. That has nothing to do with me. But the Holy Spirit will restrict you when people are like that. And you know, I don't like talking about stuff like this. But it needs, I'm talking about it because it needs to be talking about. It needs to be talked about. The little foxes spoil the vine. And people allow petty differences and defile discord to stop the moves of God. And, you know, God is moving in the church. Somebody get jealous because they didn't have long enough to preach or something. And then they start murmuring. Now the Holy Spirit, and then they cause people to look at things wrong. Or they accuse people of something that's not even real. And then the church split. I've seen church split. I've seen churches argue. And the Lord helped me to prevent a church from splitting. I guess. I told the pastor what I saw in their dream, and the church, they did all right, you know, after they got their differences straightened out. But I love God, and I love his ways. And I know what, you know, I know how the devil is. He's trying to stop, split the church, and turn things off. But those that love God, those that know the Lord, will be strong and do exploits. Satan can't turn their works off. They're going to do exploits because they know God. And you can't know God unless you seek after him with the intent to know him and receive his wonderful love, that wonderful life-filling, life-giving agape love that he has. When you learn that, my friend, you're well on your way. And you, if you're faithful to the love of God, you can't fail. If Christ is formed in you, you can't even sin. And we cover that in some broadcast, but that's what it means to be born of God, when Christ is formed in you. As he is, so are you in this world, and you know it. And you walk in it, and you live in it. One thing that the Lord had me to bridle around some, I knew that if you follow God, you don't have to ever worry about money. You don't have to worry about provision. Because it's coming. A lot of people would try to obey God on false pretense. But God wants sincerity. When you have sincerity, you don't have to worry about. That's why Jesus said, don't take your purse with you. Don't take money and, you know, just go, just leave and go out there two by two. And they went out of town, and he said, live where they receive you. If you go to a house and the son of peace is there, then let your peace reside on that house. The laborers were there was high. They'll feed you and they'll take care of you. But if your peace come back to you, because the son of discord is there, and your peace come back to you, then shake the dust off your feet and keep going. Why? Because God takes care of those who do his work. God pays good. He blesses us. You don't have to worry about me. He told me, I didn't understand these things years ago. It's because in ministry, I always had to work hard just to preach. I had to pay the radio bill to preach. I had to work on cars to pay the radio bill. And I had a lot of obligations, so I had to work on the side. And sometimes I have a short month. I just wouldn't make quite enough or barely make it. I said, "Lord, what's wrong? Something ain't right." He said, "Don't ever worry about money in my presence." It was so bad I didn't want to take an off day, but I found out if I do it God's way and don't worry about money and seek the Lord for my needs and thank Him for what, you know, and just relax in Him. Just relax in Him. Money always comes. I always get the job that'll get me over. And I don't have to, I used to think the motor job would do it or a big job, but God would give me two or three tune-ups and pay everything. So don't disqualify what God. In those early years of my radio broadcast, 2006, 7, and 8, I didn't know how, I couldn't, every time I thought the money was going to come one way, it came another way. And I've heard testimonies of people when God want them in another city, they'll sell an unsellable house for more and then buy a house that somebody else would have paid more for. God opens doors. I've heard so many testimonies that way. See, angels are involved too. Not just demons against us, but angels that work in our behalf. In fact, the Lord said, when I said, I don't make enough money sometimes. I said, what's wrong? He said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you cash. And when I stopped trying to figure out how they were going to do it or how I was going to get blessed, then I started being blessed and having abundance. Now, I said these things because God takes care of His own and He loves you. But you got to get to know Him. There is no substitution for that. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay covenant appropriate.